discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than. Yes, in your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On this show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, support system, personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of partnership, the power of words, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, creativity, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, innovation, finances, relationships, goal setting, goal attainment. And on our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Today, we have a special show for you today. We have two guests. The first guest that you will hear, his name is Richard Dugan. He hosts the radio show for Tell Me Your Story. He's been in this business for 40-plus years. He's interviewed countless authors, light workers, transformational leaders, thought leaders, financiers, you name it. This guy has met people from all walks of life. With no further ado, I would like to introduce you to our first guest, Mr. Richard Dugan.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your program. It's a delight to be interviewed and be on the other side of the more uncomfortable part of an interview. I just want to say that we've been doing the program for, we're celebrating our 13th year, September 7th of this year. And we're also celebrating this year, 2020, the year of perfect vision. And we are encouraging people to go within for that perfect vision, for the guidance, for the instruction, for the inspiration, insight, as well as for that peace and calm that we all need today. And whether we had COVID-19, whether we have whatever is going on in the world today or in your life, you need to find that calm, peaceful, quiet place to listen to that still small voice that will never steer you wrong. Might challenge you, but will never steer you wrong. And I'm glad to be able to express that here, as well as through the, I call them broadcast podcasts, because they are heard on a local terrestrial radio station in Santa Barbara, California, KZ as in zebra, SB as in Santa Barbara, as well as streamed live from my website, richarddugan.com, and also on SoundCloud and iTunes and TuneIn Radio and Spotify and Stitcher and alike. And, we're just really working hard to make a difference in this world. I firmly believe that we are, even though I may not see the actual evidence thereof, but I've learned that that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I see it. It's whether or not it's happening, and I believe that it is. I keep a strong belief in that. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Hey, Richard, you mind just walking us through, you have an amazing story, kind of giving us a little backdrop on your amazing story. Sometimes we have audience members call in and sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I guess the best way to start is from the beginning. I just turned 60 this year on the 26th of June, so I was born in 1960. I was born with three visual impairments, nystagmus, stigmatism, and bilateral cataracts. I can tell you one of the three. Cataracts are just cloudy little particles that float around in the eye and prevent you from seeing real well. And I was declared legally blind because I only had 20/200 in my right eye, which means that if you have 20/20 vision, I can see at 20 feet what you can see at 200. My left eye was even worse, 20/400. And I went through a lot of surgeries as a kid growing up. But I was still out there playing. I was still having a great time with our neighbors. Matter of fact, one of my neighbors who I got in touch with just recently, they live right next door to us. He shared with me that he was really amazed that in spite of the visual impairment that I was out there playing and having a great time and enjoying life. And it really showed him that just because you have a disability means you, doesn't mean you can't do a lot. And of course, I wasn't out there to affect any change in that regard. I was just a kid growing up. But as I grew up into my teens and 20s, I got into broadcasting, working for local radio stations, and still had the visual impairment, but I was wearing glasses. I wore those real thick glasses in school. Oh, man. And then large print books, and that was a lot of fun with the some of the other kids. That was just a whole lot of fun for them. But I managed to get through, and I think it was 1982 or 3 when I was working for the station. It was a religious station, interestingly enough. I was queuing up a record. I grabbed it from the cabinet. I put it up on the turntable. I queued it up, and within 5-10 seconds, we were rolling, and somebody looked at me, and they said, "Well, man, you said you were legally blind, but you just did that like that was nothing." And I said, "Well, you develop patterns. You develop..." That was the one thing I thought I was going to hate the most was queuing up records, but it got easier and easier as I went along. Got to do a lot of things, got to interview a lot of people, even at the Christian radio station that I was working at. I was interviewing Christians and non-Christians. I was even interviewing people who had channeled books on this Christian station. For example, there was one book channeled by one gentleman, and it was he was channeling Paul the Apostle, who was basically explaining, he was giving an explanation of his epistles. Sounds a little bit like Marshall McLuhan giving an explanation of the explanation. And I had astrologers, and I had light workers, and I had all these different types of folks on. And the reason I got away with it, so to speak, was because I knew the terminology. So I knew what the programmers and the advertisers and the management and the listeners, I knew what was acceptable to them. And so I used the terminology of their terminology. And then I moved on to other stations. And then in 1986, when I was working in a warehouse filled with light bulbs, and this warehouse was run by blind folks and visually impaired folks, of which I was still amidst that, but I got great health. Excuse me, I got great insurance, and I noticed my vision was deteriorating. And I went to my ophthalmologist, and I says, "Hey, what are we going to do here?" He said, "How about a lens implant? It's a 50-50 shot." I said, "Then let's do it, because if it doesn't work, I want to start the process of adjusting." And it did, and I'm driving now. And I've had the opportunity to drive down to Los Angeles from Santa Barbara and different places to interview people. I even interviewed a gal you might even be familiar with, Marissa Russo. She considers herself a forensic, what's the other term? Forensic astrologer, I think that's along the lines. But we went down into one of the rooms below decks. I set up my equipment. We did the interview, and then afterwards she did her presentation upstairs on the deck. And so I've been able to go places that I never thought I would. And in 96, and it was actually rather auspicious, March 3, 6th, 3696, I had the lens implant, and it was very successful. I've been living in Santa Barbara now for over 14 years, ready to move on to the next level and the next locale. My second wife and I have been to Ireland twice and would love to live there the rest of our days. And at the same time, I would love to travel this planet. Talking with people about the work that they are doing, about the ways in which they are changing their lives and the lives of the people around them. And it's really, from my perspective, quite extraordinary. The people that have come into my world and the ways in which I have had to grow, and I'm sure everybody's dealing with this. I joked with a dear friend of mine who has since passed about how she wanted me to give her my address so she could send me some things that she wanted me to have. So she says, "What's your address?" And I says, "Well, you could send it to me, Richard Dugan. I like the word Oracle, but the post office doesn't care for that." To which I got one of the biggest laughs out of her that I had ever gotten. It was wonderful to hear her laugh. But I'm searching just like everybody else. I'm trying to find the answers to the questions on my mind. But when I do these interviews, when I'm on the other side, the universe is asking the questions. I'm just along for the ride. And to that point, I have actually had situations where a question would come to mind, and I would think, no, that doesn't fit. That would take us way off in the other direction of where we're going right now. And it would not go away and not go away. And I finally just stopped and I said, I mentioned the guest name. I says, "There's this question that's been gnawing at me, and I've been trying to ignore it, but apparently the universe wants it asked." And so I asked the question, and of course we moved on from there. So I refrain from doing that anymore. I refrain from resisting. Obviously, somebody wants the answer to this question. If it's not me, which it could be, it's somebody out there who's listening. Maybe it's the guest. But I don't take anything for granted in that regard. Everybody has a role to play, and I'm damn well sure going to play mine in terms of waking up to the reality that there is a consciousness that is out there or in here, wherever you want to think of it as, that is there to guide us, to support us, to encourage us, to instruct us. All of the aspects that, say, a teacher or a parent or a good friend, they're all one and the same. And I've been following that path. I've taken opportunities with many other people regarding even going flying. But I love flying. I've had the opportunity of going up in a couple of small planes, actually a couple of stunt planes back in the early 80s. Then, of course, I've been up in one of these little Cessnas, and another friend of mine has an experimental plane here in Santa Barbara, took me up and wants to take me up again when it's safe to do. Kind of hard to social distance inside the cockpit of this particular plane, unless maybe one of us wears a hazmat suit. I love even airlines. I love flying. There's just something about being up there in the clouds and just feeling that lightness. It's just quite remarkable. But I have grown up in a family that does not have the level of dysfunction that you might see in some of the comedy movies for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's not quite Norman Rockwell, and if you don't know who Norman Rockwell is, please Google it. It's not exactly the most ideal, but I will tell you that I do not have any rifts between myself and my siblings or my parents or my relatives, at least none that I'm aware of. We all get along when we were kids. Hey, you got into little scraps and scrapes every once in a while, and that's the way it was, and the folks disciplined us, and that's the way it was. But it was good. And, I would honestly say that if a person were to be asked, So you just got back from Disneyland. How was the trip? And they just go on and on about how fabulous it was. Well, that's a half-truth, because it's never perfect. There's always pros and cons. Cons might be smaller, but they were there. And they choose to choose to focus on the pros, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And that's what we try to focus on with Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, looking for those new ways of living and giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. So I put that out to everybody. Do you know that you actually have an abundance of choices? And you'd sit there probably saying, well, no, I mean, if there's someone in prison or in a nursing home, they don't have many choices. Not true. What have they done thus far? What choices have they made thus far? What level of education have they reached? And not just formal, K through 12 or junior or college level. What about the school of hard knocks? What about just living life and learning from that? It's important that we start taking a look. And when the COVID-19 virus started to ramp up in January of this year, I was elated, not because I wanted the virus to hurt people. No, I was elated because I knew, number one, that we were going to do something different and it was going to open up opportunities we didn't even know existed. And look around today, 6 months later, my gosh, people are still, they're still creating. They're still innovating. I'm doing theater with another gentleman. He's an actor as well as he directs. I'm doing Zoom theater, and what we do is we get together and we record it in gallery, and we play around with it. I even uploaded a video editing program that I've never done before, never done video, done audio plenty. And then we post it and we play it, and it's just incredible that we're doing theater, and people want it. I mean, especially with the lockdown, you can't go to the theater. So what opportunities are out there for us? I mean, you get creative. That's what this life is all about, getting creative. So I would put it in that respect as far as my life and my story in a brief 15 or 20 minute segment here. I've been married once before. And it was a wonderful experience. I wish it hadn't ended, but circumstances were that it just wasn't what she wanted to do. And so I met my second wife, who I'm still with, and we're having a grand time. And I have made the promise, well, let alone commitment, this is my last marriage. I will not divorce. I will do everything in my power to make it work. Because relationships are that important, and I hope that I wish that I could be friends with my ex-wife, but it's one of those things where you've been around people that, okay, they were friends, but boy, it's hard to be around them because maybe they're so negative. So I would absolutely encourage you to foster those relationships that you do have. And if they're not working for you and the other person, they're not serving you, well, then maybe it is time to move on. But I believe that if you're willing on all levels, it will be quite an incredible relationship that you will have. And I'm creating relationships every day with the people I interview. So that is, in a nutshell, I guess you might say my story. There's certainly more details to it, but for right now, this is where I'm at.
Let me ask you one more question, because we have still a couple minutes. And all the people that you interview, when you talk to them about like success, is there any commonality or common theme or common thread that they each share with you that you hear over and over and over again?
Well, I'll tell you, that's interesting because though this isn't a secret, because people listen to my interviews and they know how every single one of my interviews ends. It ends with asking each guest three questions. And this is where the similarity does come in, where most of the people are pretty much in unison. And that is, the three questions are, and whoever the guest is, their name, whether it be their given or chosen name, whatever name we're using in that interview, I ask them, and let's just say it's John Doe, who is John Doe? Now, a lot of folks' first reaction, with after a long pause, is, well, boy, you saved the easy questions for the end. But most of them say that they are here to serve selflessly. The second question is, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now? And many of them respond with continuing to spread love and light and to be there for others, to guide them along the path to a better world and a better life. And the final question is, what is your life's purpose? And many of them will answer that question by saying, well, today my life's purpose is. Or I'll have to get back to you on that one. But again, they usually comment on all three of these questions that I saved the hardest for the last. And that's probably where I hear those similarities. And I've always felt when I started doing this program that I needed to have some kind of signature to the program to wrap it up. And so following those three questions to my guests, I always end the program, as some hosts do in some programs, maybe going back a few years. I don't know how many programmers do that, although I have heard a few that have some interesting sayings or phrases that they give. But mine, basically, after saying you're listening to the broadcast podcast of blah, 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 website, et cetera, and until our next broadcast podcast, love to Lal. Lal is a Sanskrit name for my beloved, just as in Irish or Gaelic, Makushla is also my beloved, which was also the name, Makushla, that is, of my dearly departed white shepherd husky mix, who lived to be 16 and passed, or we sent her on her way in October, and I think it was the 10th, October 10th of 2018. So we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary here in October. And I miss her a lot, but she was my beloved. She was actually my second dog. I lost my first dog in the divorce. But, lessons learned and so forth. And that's the similarities between my guests, even and myself, are that we are all wanting to be of service, to be used, and we do it on purpose. We choose to do it. It's not enslavement. It's not servitude, indentured servitude, as our religious institutions or our governments or other bodies would want us to do. We do it because we love other people, because we want something better. And I'll tell you, very briefly, what we want is, we do not want to continue to survive. We're tired of it. It's enough. We want to thrive. And that's really the goal of my life, of the work that I do, of the radio programs that I do, the interviews. I want all of us to thrive. And I do mean all 7.8 billion. Why is it that only a select class gets to thrive and the rest of us have to struggle and strife and just survive from day to day? That's ridiculous. You know, we're all human beings. We're also all spiritual beings. And I believe it's possible. You know, maybe it's idealistic. It's Pollyanna. Fine. I'll take it. Because I'd rather believe in that than get sucked into the stuff that's going on out there. So I hope that answers your question in more than three ways.
Yes, sir. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show. To find out more about the Sudden Eye Impact Show, you can reach me at BBS Radio. Our second guest for today is Dana and David Hagstrom, PhD. They currently reside in Mexico with their three chins. They are retired from their regular vocation, and now they've found passion in helping others with entrepreneurship through creating businesses online. They are career students. David has a book out called The Core Beliefs of Religion. With no further ado, we're going to Dana and David Hagstrom.
Well, thanks for having us on the show today.
Yes, we're delighted to be here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Y'all have the floor. Just take us through the story and then tell us, you're welcome to advertise and just let the audience know, you know, how they can reach you and how you can help them. Because my whole goal with all of this is if I help one person, I've served my purpose.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Well, let me start with telling a story. I recall one particular night when Dana and I, and this is after our retirement, were sitting on hard, straight-back chairs in a hotel room reviewing our business plan with our mentor after a full day of training. And he helped us tighten up a few details and then turned to me and said, okay, you're ready. You need to be coaching others. Well, to tell the truth, I didn't feel ready at all. But in retrospect, I realized he was right. You see, in my 35-year career as a Christian pastor, my gift for strategic planning had led me to serving as senior pastor in a large congregation and then executive pastor coaching other staff members in a huge congregation. And recently, I had learned how to apply my gift for strategic planning in a new business. And now it was time to share. And so Dana and I began coaching our own small group of online marketers. But we noticed there was still one thing missing. We could help others with almost any piece of online, but it was still sort of hit and miss which piece to work on when. Like we were putting pieces into a puzzle, but the overall picture was still unclear. And then one day that puzzle picture came into focus, both for us and for coaching others. And now we could walk through a list of questions and say, okay, here's where you need to focus on right now to move your business forward. And that day was the birth of Your Pathway to Profit. And from that point, our level of excitement and enthusiasm for coaching went through the roof. You see, I believe that you can develop a profitable online marketing business without an overwhelming task list or technological overwhelm. And we can show you how to do it. So over the last 3 years, Dana and I have been helping people with issues related to online marketing and building new income streams. And we've learned where people tend to get stuck. Either they're missing pieces of the puzzle, or they've got them in the wrong place, or they're just overwhelmed with all the stuff they need to do. And we've learned how to get them unstuck. So today I'll walk you through Your Pathway to Profit, our signature process for developing the profitable business of your dreams. We picture that process in three stages: testing your foundation for success, building your pipeline for profit, and releasing the flow of leads and cash. Now, in the first stage, you test your foundation for success by researching four critical sets of questions, which we abbreviate as: where are you headed? what's your problem, who's your biggest fan, and how do you make money? And then in stage two, you design and build your pipeline for profit. And if we picture our sales and marketing process as a pipeline, first you need to attract leads into that pipeline and then move them along stage by stage till they become customers and eventually raving fans. To begin, you design an irresistible lead magnet using our solution template together with a clear step-by-step process. Position you as an authority in your niche. Then you nurture your leads to raise their energy level from lukewarm to sizzling hot and lead them to an effective deciding event. Now, by the way, if your listeners are interested in this, you don't need to write down this content. We'll be happy to share it for you. In fact, we'll give you a detailed look at our solution framework and an outline of all the rest. So once you have all the components for your business in place, the third stage is releasing the flow of leads and cash. And you begin by attracting free eyeballs and using social media to help you go from a trickle to a steady flow of qualified leads. And Dana and I regularly teach our clients how to attract free leads on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, YouTube, LinkedIn.
Yeah, we've got a course now on LinkedIn.
We do have a course on LinkedIn, and those are just the kind of details we talk about in our coaching community.
Right.
Then you raise your perceived authority by delivering very focused, precisely targeted content before developing a carefully calculated ad strategy to turn up the volume and then optimizing and maximizing your profit. Now, that's the whole process in a nutshell.
And if your head's spinning, don't worry.
Yeah, I didn't skip anything, but I just ran right through it. And frankly, this process works for you, whether you've already got a business and a good flow of leads and cash, or you've got a trickle of leads and cash flow coming in, or you're just getting started and have nothing at all.
And sometimes those are our favorite clients because they don't have any bad habits that we have to, you know, help them break. And they have such a positive attitude and they are ready to work.
But that's certainly true. It's often harder to unlearn the bad habits than to learn the good ones. So you invited me to share how they can get in touch with us. To get our solution framework and our exact, easy-to-follow, step-by-step process to irresistibly attract your ideal prospects without technological overwhelm, plus an outline of your pathway to profit, you can go to https://david-dana.com/solution. And we'll get you a PDF with all that information right away.
Is it possible that you could do like a detailed example, like maybe with Dana? Like Dana is a person that's interested, and just walk us step by step how you take her from zero to having satisfied paid clients. Is that possible?
Yes. Well, I've sort of already walked through the process, but in such a fast way, I'm sure that it's hard to pick up some of it. But it largely is a matter of asking questions. So, I'd start out by asking, tell me your vision. Where are you to wanting to go with this business?
Right. So there would be we would have a conversation with our prospective client or the clients that we're working with. And they would then tell us, well, I'm working with solopreneurs. You know, I'm a coach and I would like to attract more people that need help building their business.
Okay, and then we might start asking questions about, who exactly are these people you want to help?
Well, I picture my perfect avatar or my perfect customer to be a coach like me, to be someone that wants to make a difference, that has a limited amount of time, that really wants to pack as much time into their day as they can and help as many people at the same time. So I'm wanting to help someone who is also a coach.
Okay. Now, for one person, that might be the direction that they're going. For someone else, they're going to take things in a completely different direction. And as coaches, our duty is really to ask the questions to help them to discover where they are, the best way for them to reach the goal that they have in mind.
Exactly. When we get them thinking, they start to provide their own solutions without even knowing it. That we just sort of guide them along. We know the questions to ask, but they have the answers already inside them. They just often don't realize it. And I like to think of it like we all have a gold mine inside us. We have all sorts of experiences and passions and interests that we have accumulated over our life. And sometimes we don't realize how those can be called upon and used to build a business, number one. A lot of people have skills they, could be monetizing. They don't even realize they have. So asking the questions, getting people to get real and answer that question. I liked Richard's question. Who are you? And that's an exercise we often take our people through to get them to realize who they are and how do they want to serve.
And then one of the questions we always like to ask is, what problem can you solve for someone? And, for somebody, it might be a matter of, I could build them a website if they need a website. Okay, that's great, because I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that would like to build a website and you could help solve them for them. For someone else, they might say, I'm good with my hands. I can build a back deck on their house. And okay, that's a skill you can monetize. And someone else might say, I'm great at baking cakes. And, we help them figure out how they can build a business doing that. And there's just so many different things that people have skills at.
Mm-hmm.
But it begins with discovering a problem, because people are glad to pay money for someone to solve a problem that they've got. And if you can figure out, given the skills that you have, what problem can you solve for someone else? And then find the people that have that problem and offer your solution, you've got a business.
And a profitable one.
Yeah.
So, but people don't, we're not born knowing how to market. In fact, just the opposite. We generally follow, but we need to learn how to be leaders and take those skills that we have and know where to find the people that are looking for us.
Right. And begin to attract them to us instead of just going out and yelling out, I've got a product over here, who wants to buy?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work very well. So we need to learn how to attract the people who are interested in the solution that we have to offer.
Exactly. And we often think of the product, let's just take a pain reliever or ibuprofen. Say, hey, buy my ibuprofen. Well, people are going to look at you funny, but you can say, this is the product you need when your child has 102 fever in the middle of the night. You need this product. Well, of course, that's going to elicit the emotion. And so we help people, tap into emotion, because that's where the people are going to buy. They're the ones that are going to be most interested.
Well stated. If it's not a problem. I like to ask one more question. What about you have people and they're really good at something and they want to be in business or whatnot, but they have a problem asking people for money or the process of how to monetize?
And that's something we run into all the time. And if people have a problem asking for money, then that's one of the first things we need to address is their mindset. And why is it that they have problem trading something that's of value to them for something that's of value to someone else? And money is just a means of trade. And so there's really no big difference, other than two different people trading services for each other. Except in this case, we use money to represent our time. And then if they have trouble with the whole idea of how to monetize their skills, again, we'd love to work with them and to help them step by step move through that, because the process of monetizing your skills does have a number of steps, and there are a number of skills that you need to learn along the way. And if you learn just one and try to put it into place, you often find out that one skill alone doesn't do it. And if you try to learn all of them at the same time, you find yourself completely overwhelmed. And so what we find is that our biggest challenge is to help people to focus on one thing at a time, and then to move through the process and trust us to guide them for the next step and the next step and the next step.
Right. It's so easy to look at other people and what they're doing and assume that they didn't have to walk through the steps. They were just, magically successful. But no, those people had to walk through these steps as well. And it's helpful to help people, like David said, focus and not feel the overwhelm and just kind of close out all the other voices, all the other noise that's out there saying, hey, this is the next best thing. No, this is the next best thing. No, this is it. Close that out and just trust the process.
A lot of people we run into have a great idea in mind, and they've been thinking about it, maybe sometimes even for years, and just have never pulled the trigger and got it started. And that brings, to my mind, a story that 30 years ago now, I took off a year of ministry and studied guitar at Musicians Institute in Hollywood. And I always intended to continue that study, especially to focus on jazz improvisation. But I was always too busy with my career, and my skill slipped from lack of practice. In fact, it even got to the place where I didn't even really enjoy playing anymore. And then I saw an online course that was exactly what I needed, a chance to review the basics of jazz guitar improvisation and take it to the next level, along with a group guided by an excellent professional jazz guitarist. Now, of course, it wasn't free, and it was stuff I thought, well, I could probably do that on my own. I just needed to discipline myself to regular, focused, intentional practice. And in my head, I knew most of the concepts. I just needed to get them into my ears and my heart and my fingers. So another year went by, and I saw that course again, and finally I signed up for it. And I was amazed at how quickly I progressed. Both my skill level and my enjoyment took off, given the simple accountability of a teacher, a curriculum, and a group doing the work together. So if you've got that idea that you think you ought to run with, don't put it off any longer. Your time is now.
Well stated. Wow. Awesome. So as we get ready to wrap up the Sudden Eye Impact Show, COVID-19 has caused a lot of problems. I would say that it's put a lot of people in a state of fear. So what I aim to do with my show is to put people in a state of faith. So I bring guests on that kind of harmonize with my foundational pillars, you know, thinking right, believing right, expecting right, speaking right, planning, acting right, and then making adjustments. So what I would say is to everyone out there, love yourself, like yourself, know that you are supported by the universe. The universe, Mother Nature, has never failed you. If you go for a walk, you hear the birds chirping, you see the advancement and flourishing of the trees, the flowers. So there's a system that's in place. You were meant to be here. Your energy is so important that you wouldn't even made it into here if you weren't supposed to be here. And if you understood your energy properly, your energy is not only able to shift your consciousness, if properly understood, it could shift the entire energy of the entire planet. So with that being said, I say, love yourself, like yourself, be authentic with yourself. To your own self, be true, because if you can't be true with yourself, it's impossible to be true with anyone else. There are people that are out there that will help you, but they can't read your mind. So you have to reach out. I believe everybody should have a mentor and at least one coach. But the most important thing is to love yourself, to like yourself, regardless of what someone says about you, regardless of your mistakes, so on and so forth. Makes no difference. Every day is a new day. It's a new opportunity for progress. Your mistakes don't make you. Don't let your mistakes define you. So with that being said, I would like to leave you with a few quotes as I wrap it up. Quote, thoughts are mental energy. They're currency that you have to attract what you desire. Learn to stop spending that currency on thoughts you don't want. Period. End of quote. Wayne Dyer. Quote, those thoughts or truth which guide us to beneficial interaction with sensible particulars as they occur, whether they copy these in advance or not. Period. End of quote. William James. Be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. Until the next episode of the Sudden Eye Impact Show, do what you know to do and use your faith.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life and most importantly in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee.